Well, good morning and welcome to week 14 of our sermon series, and there will be at least a 15th week. It wasn't but a few weeks ago that we talked about the Holy Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in that sermon, we look at how the Holy Trinity has always existed. It has been eternal, and it will always be eternal. We looked at how three natures are one God. We examined that it was through the Trinity that all things were created. And we looked at even more evidence of the work of the Trinity in the Old Testament. And this week we dive a little deeper into the Holy Spirit. Just a few minutes ago, we heard Joan read the scripture about the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost is a special day in the history of the church. The day of Pentecost is the day that the Holy Spirit flooded the followers of Jesus Christ. And through that event, the followers of Christ had incredible powers. And we heard the scripture earlier, Acts 2, verse 4. It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And something amazing happened. It said, verse 5, now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the believers received powerful gifts. Some of them the gift to speak in a foreign language. And if we were to read on in the book of Acts, we would see many more amazing gifts, miracles, and other actions associated with the early believers because of the Holy Spirit. And as this crowd gathered in amazement, bewilderment of what was going on, Peter addresses the crowd and wastes no time in taking us back to the Old Testament. In verse 14, he says, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Verse 17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Peter explained something very important to the Jewish audience. First, he wanted them to be sure that this power was of the Holy Spirit and that what they witnessed was prophesied by Joel and other prophets. There are many other prophecies that I could take you through. But in the Old Testament, there are several occasions when a person would be filled with the Spirit and accomplish great things for God. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Joseph, remember the story? He was sold into slavery and he had Potiphar's wife and eventually he made it and the Pharaoh was having dreams. Well, he was able to interpret those dreams through the power of the Holy Spirit. Genesis 41:38 says, so Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God? Even the Pharaoh recognized that he, Joseph, was full of the Holy Spirit. When it came time to build the tabernacle, God told Moses that he would fill certain people with the power and the skills to build what he commanded. Earlier we heard from Exodus 31:2. See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills. Joshua was the leader selected to replace Moses as the people moved from wandering the desert into the promised land. And in Numbers 27:18, it says, "So the Lord said to Moses, 'Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit of leadership, and lay your hands on him.'" And later, we see Saul was anointed as the first king of Israel. 1 Samuel 10, chapter 9, as Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart, and all these signs were fulfilled that day. When he and his servant arrived at Gibeah, a process of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came powerfully upon him, and he joined in their prophesying. And what we see in the Old Testament is that time and time again, the Spirit of God filled specific people for a specific purpose. And an interesting note that sometimes God takes away his Spirit. For Samuel 16, Saul decided he was a little big for his own pants and decided he was going to take on more roles than God wanted him to. And God punished him. And he said in verse 14, "Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul." We see God's Holy Spirit act over and over in the Old Testament. But after Jesus, we see a new twist. Back to that verse in Acts chapter 2. "And the last day, God says, 'I will pour out my Spirit on all people.'" The prophets told us that one day the Holy Spirit would be made available to all of God's people. And this is exactly what Jesus promised. John 14, verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." John 14, he goes on to say in verse 25, "All of this I have spoken while still with you, but the advocate that he mentioned before, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And not only did the Holy Spirit come on the followers at Pentecost, receiving the Spirit was a defining characteristic of new converts. Even non-Jewish converts all over the Roman Empire. From Acts chapter 11, "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" And what is cool, what is great about this is that the power of the Holy Spirit is not reserved just for the apostles or the early believers of the New Testament. The Holy Spirit is not reserved just for pastors or worship leaders or missionaries. The power of the Holy Spirit is available to each and everyone who chooses Christ as their personal Savior. The Holy Spirit was sent to complete the work of Jesus Christ through us. We are forgiven, we are redeemed, and we are saved through the blood of Christ. And through this salvation, we are brought to a new way of living through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are to become the witnesses to the world of the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes to the Galatians regarding the difference between a lifestyle with and without the Holy Spirit. First, Paul discusses a lifestyle without the Holy Spirit from Galatians 5. "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." See, the power of the Holy Spirit keeps us on the right path with God. When we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, we desire God's goodness, God's righteousness, God's way, and not the world's way. It's not about what we want. That is a word that just goes through me. And people say, I can't, that's not what I want to believe. That's not what I want to believe. That's not what I want to believe. I don't care what you want to believe. It's not what you want. It's about God and the Holy Spirit. Paul goes on to say, the acts of flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. He goes on to say, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a pretty clear statement, isn't it? If we are not living by God's ways, if we want to live by the ways of the world, if we want to live the way the world says about power and money and greed and whatever I want and whatever I feel is right and whatever I think is right, Paul says, I warn you, as I did before, this isn't your first warning, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let that soak in and look at your own life. This isn't about pointing fingers at other people. It's a time to look at yourself. That if we live by the ways of the world and not by the ways of the Spirit, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that is a harsh reality for some of us. And as we consider the long-term direction of this church, we need to consider, will we be a church of the world or will we strive to be a Holy Spirit-driven church? If we are a church that is led by the Spirit, then this is what our lives should look like. In verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is this, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. In verse 24, he goes on, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Being a Christian is not simply about a set of rules of do this and don't do this. Some of us think that if we do the standard rules, go to church, say your prayers, give your offering, I'm good to go, right? Now, these things are part of healthy spiritual discipline. These are things we should do. But all too often, we do these things out of routine, and our worship, our prayers, and our offering are done without meaning. Now ask yourself, how often do you worship in the Spirit? I mean, really come here to worship in the Spirit of God. Or do you sit in the back row counting the clock or counting how many mistakes I say? Did you hear what he said today? He messed that word up again. Trust me, I hear it at home. Do you hear him talking in circles today? Did you hear how long he went today? Well, maybe we're here for a long time or going circles because you ain't getting it. You ever think of that? God wants you to hear it again and again and again until it goes, the light bulb clicks on. How often do you have deep and meaningful conversations with God through the Holy Spirit. Oh, sure, we'll pray, oh, God, protect my kids. Let me get to work on time. I've got this going on today. Thanks, God. See you later. And we're gone. Or that moment you're about to rear in somebody. Oh, dear God, keep me from hitting this person. It's over. Thanks. Move on. How often are you moved and motivated by God in your giving or service? Earlier in Galatians, Paul warned this church, chapter 3, verse 3. He says, "Are you so foolish? After beginning by the means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by the means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain?" Now think about what God has done through the history of the church, going all the way back to the Acts, all the way to even today. The gospel spread through the early church. Miracles were prevalent. The church spread in spite of widespread persecution. And even though the church had its up and down and dark times, think about what happened when God's people turned back to Him and the church experiences great reform and a great awakening. There was revival at one time all around the world. It was called the Great Awakening. And it wasn't that long ago in church history that we had the second Great Awakening. And even in this very day, there is an awakening going on in Asia, in African countries, where churches are growing and people are giving their lives to Jesus Christ every single day. And Paul's questions applies to us today. We know how powerful the Holy Spirit can be, yet we continue to live by routines and not by the Holy Spirit. Paul continues, verse 5, "So again I ask, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of law or by your believing what you heard?" Even Jesus made it clear that we can't do it on our own. We need help. Heck, even the disciples were told they needed help. The disciples spent nearly 3 years following Jesus. They watched Him perform miracle after miracle. They heard Him teach directly. And suddenly the disciples found themselves without Jesus in their presence. They were scared and unsure of what to do. And Jesus reappeared to them after His resurrection. And just before His ascension, He tells them, "Stand by, you're going to get the Holy Spirit." And on the day of Pentecost, the disciples did receive that Holy Spirit. And immediately they were changed. They received gifts from the Holy Spirit. And because of that, the world was changed forever. People were healed. Thousands were made converts to Christianity. And I think sometimes we stand back and we read these amazing feats in the Bible and we look at them as the same way we look at Spider-Man and Superman. Sure, I would like to leap a tall building in a single bound, but I don't have those superpowers, do I? But that's how we treat the Bible. We think we can't do those things, but we can. We can preach like Peter and have thousands come to know Christ. We tell ourselves these special powers are something the ordinary person cannot possess. But this is just simply not true. Did you know that we are each given special powers by the Holy Spirit? Listen to how many times Paul tells us we all get our gifts and power from the same Spirit. Chapter 12, he says, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. God has a spiritual gift for each of us. Think about what we could accomplish if we would claim it and live it. God took a group of largely uneducated men and women. They were not trained religious leaders. They were mostly blue-collar, average, everyday people. You gotta love Peter. Peter was a guy who made one mistake after another. He failed at walking on the water. He wrongly confronted Jesus, and Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter drew the sword and cut off the guard's ear when Jesus told him, "No, it's not the way." It was Peter who promised to go to the death with Jesus and then denied him three times. Peter was a Galilean. That's like coming from Kentucky, down in the holler, you know. That's how they looked at the Galileans. He said, the Bible even says they talked with a funny accent. Yet it was Peter who preached and thousands repented. It was Peter who healed people and even raised a young follower, Tabitha, from the dead. Peter, an ordinary guy. Paul was a highly religious and highly political person. Paul allowed his religion and politics to turn him into a devastating force in and around the Judean region. Paul was filled with hate and sought out to stop Christianity at any cost, even if it meant the death of somebody like Stephen. Yet it was Paul, this broken and demented person, who became the apostle to the Gentiles. It was Paul who went without fear into the Roman Empire, preaching the gospel even when beaten, even when jailed. It was Paul who founded church after church after church. Did Peter do this on his own merit, in his own strength, his own eloquence? Did Paul do this out of all the good stuff he did in his life before he converted? Did any of the disciples accomplish great things on their own? No. Paul tells us that our gifts for service come from the Holy Spirit. Now, some of us may have natural talents, but it is God who empowers us to different levels of ability. And notice that last part of that verse in red right there. What's it say? In everyone. Notice there's no but. There's no clause in parentheses that says, except you're under the age of 60. It doesn't say, except unless you're just a young child. It doesn't say, except unless you've really messed up in your life. Except unless you're a complete Bible scholar. It doesn't give any exceptions, any excuses. Nobody is left out. If you come to faith in Jesus Christ, in everyone, that means you. God has spiritual gifts for you. God wants to empower you. God wants to use you as a part of His great plan. Because we like to say, we need a good preacher to go out and bring people in. We need a good preacher to go out and visit the sick. We need a good preacher to go do this. We need a good preacher to go do that. No, 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 no. You need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to use the gifts that have been given to you to be part of accomplishing God's will. God wants to use you to go and make disciples. God wants you to perform great signs and wonders. Now, does that mean all of us are going to walk into a hospital and lay hands on and a whole ward of people come out? No. But it might mean you're that person who finds somebody who needs their hand held that day and carries them through their darkest moment. It might mean you're that person who gives somebody a check that changes their life because they couldn't pay a bill. Might mean that God uses you in some way that you don't even know you have been used to change somebody's life, to change the course, to bring somebody back to God. I told a story in Sunday school this morning. Sunday school teacher, when I was about 12 years old, his name was Ken, changed my course of understanding of the Bible, and I didn't know it at the time. But years later, looking back, I see where that turn was made, where the Bible became more than a children's Bible for me. And I've tried to track him down to thank him, but I don't even know where he lives. Tried Facebook, tried social media, tried people that knew him before. I don't know where he is to this day. He's probably in his late 60s, early 70s. I don't know. But a faithful Sunday school teacher had an impact on me, and he didn't even know. Just by being faithful to his calling to teach Sunday school. And Paul tells us that together, we are a body. We are not intended to act alone. We are made to work together. Each person using their gifts to support each other in our mission. And if we were to go into that scripture, and you've heard it before, some of us are feet, some of us are eyes, some of us are hands, and some of us have different positions, but no role is any less important. But we'll never be that unified body, we'll never be that powerful unless we grasp the Holy Spirit. Because folks, the world is more than you can see and touch. There is a reality of spirits in this world. There are dark spirits and there are spirits of God. And there is the Holy Spirit who empowers us through Jesus Christ. And we have to come to that reality. And in order to do this, we have to surrender, we have to repent, and we have to have the desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I think a lot of us want to get to that point of, I got my ticket to heaven, and that's enough. I got my faith. I'm going to hold on to it. It's my faith. I'm going to heaven. I'll see y'all later. That's not what we're called to be. We're supposed to receive the faith. We're supposed to live the faith and share the faith. And the question in this church is, are you ready for more? Are you ready to be more in your life? Are you ready to this church to be more than it is? Not to say we don't do good things. Not to say we haven't done a lot of good things. Not to say that we don't have a lot of good people here. But I'm telling you, there is more. And God has pushed me and pushed me and pushed me to tell you and tell you and tell you there is more. God has a wealth of power for this church. God has a mission and a plan for this church. To not be a church that ages out and dies, but a church that has rebirth and renewal and growth. A church that goes out and witnesses, a church that goes out and serves. A church that brings people in. A church that people says, wow, what is going on in that church? And when they come here, they're amazed by our worship because we're singing in the Spirit. Could you imagine what it sounds like in here with a full body of people singing in full voice to God? Because even when we have a hymn that everybody knows, most of the time it sounds like this. Tell me that's not true. Tell me that's not true. Folks, we should be in here. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. We should have tears of joy streaming down our faces. That we have a God that loves us that much. That we have a God that wants to equip us that way. after all we've done, about all of our sins, out of all of our unholiness, that God would forgive us, that God would redeem us, that God would restore us, and then want to use us. Nobody is too broken for God to use. That is what we need to be, folks. We need to be a church that is alive in the Spirit. We can't be dead anymore. Because when we're dead, we will die. And some of you have even said it, we're one generation from not existing in this church, are we not? We have maybe, what, 6-7 people here under the age of 65? I mean, that's just the reality, isn't it? But that doesn't mean we can't change things. Does that mean we can't go out and be the church that God has called us to be? Does that mean we're not capable of performing miracles? Does that mean we're not capable of praying over the sick and healing people, bringing comfort to the lost, showing people what it means to live out a genuine, godly Christian life? But it comes down to this. We have a God of free will. And you have the choice today to say, I'm kind of good where I'm at. I don't like all this preachy stuff. So thanks, but no thanks. Go ahead. Leave here today the same way you came in. Or you can hear that knock of the Holy Spirit who's saying, you, I'm talking to you. You need to be more. You need to live out what I've called you and gifted you to be. And your choice is to say, all right, I don't know how to do it, God, but I'll say yes. Pray about it. Read the scriptures. Come to me. Go to your friends. Talk to each other. Encourage one another to be what God has called us to be. Because every day that God has given us breath is one day of breath that we can serve God with. One day that we can share the good news of salvation. The one day that we might save somebody from an eternity in hell. Now, we don't actually do the saving part. It's the Holy Spirit that does it. But it might be our witness that brings about that change for them. So the question now is on you. What is your response? How will you react? How will you change? What will be different in your life? How will we make this church different? How will we live out the mission that we've been called to? And how will we do it as a people of peace and love and unison? All those gifts that Paul told us that we're supposed to be. The Holy Spirit is speaking to some of you now, and I know it. And to some of you, I know Satan is working just as hard. And to some of you, you're fighting this message with everything you got. Saying, not me, I'm good. Not me, I'm good. Now, there's only one person that you answer to for that, and that's not me. And whether you answer that today or you answer that on the other side of eternity, that's between you and God. But I've been called to bring the message. And today you have heard the message. Let us pray. Gracious God, I know in my own life I have my own failings. And Lord, at times I've even held back from the gift that you have given me. Lord, at times I've given into my own self-will and my own self-indulgences. Lord, there's times where I've prioritized my time over your time, and Lord, today I ask for your forgiveness. And Lord, I ask people to be truly open to what the Holy Spirit is saying and speaking to them today. Because, Lord, I believe in your power. Lord, I believe in your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I believe we can do great things in this church. But I know, Lord, it depends on our obedience and our willingness to surrender to you, to allow ourselves to become your instruments. Lord, for many, this is a harsh message, a tough message. But Lord, sometimes we got to face the reality and the tough challenges of this world. And it is a whole different kind of life when we face this world through your eyes and through your spirit, so that we can live it out with your love, your truth, and your promises. Lord, may we be receptive to the message that you have for us today. It is this we pray in your Son's holy name, through the power of your advocate, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray as we leave here today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the bounty that we are going to be blessed with. And Lord, may it be more than just about who prepared what food, and we are grateful for that. But more importantly, we are grateful for a time that we can share together to be your people, to be one in spirit with one another. Lord, this is not a journey that we are on alone, but this is a journey we are on together. And through the power of your Holy Spirit, I know we can do great things for you, Lord. Let us leave here encouraged, knowing it's not on us, but it is through your Holy Spirit and our surrender to your Holy Spirit that this work is done. Lead us and guide us in all that we do. May we each return to you in a powerful way this week. Through the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.